Thank you, Kendall, for leading us in that song. Leads us right into our lesson this evening, and we're going to talk about rainbows this evening. If you would open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9, be reading there here in just a moment. I want to thank Jim and Lawrence and giving me this opportunity and study and now being able to present it to you. And I feel like I'm the unlucky one because I have to do it in front of the preacher. Everybody else, he was gone, but a little more nervous, I guess. Here in Genesis chapter 9, we see where the rainbow is first mentioned. We see a covenant is established. And that's what I want to talk a little bit this evening about, is that rainbow and that covenant. You know, a rainbow in today's world has about three different meanings. Scientific meaning, which me being an engineer, you know, I had to look it up, see what all specifics, you know, how does a rainbow happen? So I'm going to read that first. Defined as a meteorological phenomenon that is caused by reflection, refraction, and dispersion of light and water droplets resulting in a spectrum of light appearing in the sky. It takes a form of a multicolored arc. Rainbows caused by sunlight always appear in the section of sky directly opposite of the sun. Rainbows can be full circles, however, the observer normally sees only an arc formed by illuminated droplets above the ground and centered on a line from the sun to the observer's eye. In a primary rainbow, the arc shows red on the outer part and violet on the inner side. This rainbow is caused by light being refracted when entering a droplet of water, then reflected inside on the back of the droplet and refracted again when leaving it. Makes sense, right? It's a rainbow, sorry. In a double rainbow, a second arc is seen outside the primary arc and has the order of its colors reversed, also due to the refraction and reflecting and all that stuff. But we always see a rainbow right after it rains. In layman terms, that's what you expect. That's what that scientific term basically said. And they're pretty common. Rainbows are common. And I didn't think about, you know, I started this lesson, I heard it from a talk whenever I was visiting another congregation, and a guy was talking about rainbows. I was like, yeah, that's a pretty good sermon. Let's start from there. And then Hurricane Harvey came, and we had the flooding, and like, well, now it's perfect timing. And then Irma came, and there's some flooding down there. And I started this way before any of that happened. It's just a coincidence. But we're going to talk about some flooding and rainbows this evening. The worldly aspect, unfortunately, of rainbows is completely wrong. In 1978, at the San Francisco Gay Freedom Day Parade, they called it, the rainbow flag made its debut to the world. And ever since that moment, it has been the leading symbol for the LGBTQ, whatever other letters they want to add to it, community. It's made by a man named Gilbert Bakers who invented it. And they took something that was wholesome from God that we're about to read about and flipped it completely to represent something full of sin and of the world that we see today. Many of you have probably heard the guy named Ken Ham. He helped build the Ark out in Kentucky. They made a life-size replica. And now, from now, as long as he's alive, he said they're going to make the rainbow colors on the Ark there. And he recently had a tweet saying, take back the rainbow. I don't know if anybody has seen that, but it's basically a phrase being used today to inspire people, especially Christians, to take that concept of the rainbow back. When you talk to people in the world today, they see rainbow or they hear rainbow, and the first thing they think of is homosexual and the gay movement. And that's not what the rainbow is intended for. It's been contorted in a way so bad by Satan himself that people forgot what the rainbow actually is or what it meant. So that's what we're going to talk about this evening, how God intended that rainbow to be. In Genesis chapter 9, let's begin reading here in verse 1. This is right after the flood, and Noah and his sons walked out and all the animals. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your life blood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For the image of God he made man, and as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it. Let's read here specifically, starting in verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth, with you all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. This I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant which I make between you, me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become the flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, This is a sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. I know that was a pretty lengthy read, but in those last few verses, you could see where that rainbow meant that God would never destroy the earth again with flood waters. We're going to talk about that a little bit more here in more significance. Again, keep in thought that we're trying to take back that rainbow. You know, in James chapter 4, if you would turn over there for just a moment. That worldly view that people are trying to portray to the world about a rainbow is completely wrong, and this verse alone describes it. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. They've taken this sign that God created, this promise and this covenant, and have made it part of the world. And that's how everybody sees it anymore, unfortunately. And they're not one of the same. God and the world are completely separate. Where if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy to God. And people have made this rainbow that God created to be a wholesome thing, to mean His promise. And they've made it an enemy now to God. So why the rainbow? What's the significance of the rainbow after the flood? Why use that as a sign there? In Genesis chapter 6, if you turn back over there, let's read why. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Man had become so corrupt and sinful, to the point God was sorry it ever made him. That's why the floodwaters came. You think about it, you know, we get used to seeing rainbows because it rains. Not here as often as some other places of the world, but when it does rain, we see a rainbow, right? It feels pretty common to us. But you think of it at that time, before this point, as far as we know, it hadn't really rained of this significance before. So they probably had never even seen a rainbow at this time. Noah didn't know what a rainbow was, we assume. In Genesis chapter 2, we see that there was dew that actually, a mist that went out from the earth. In verse 5, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. This is all they knew really of what was to replenish the earth, this dew. They hadn't had like a big rain. It might have sprinkled a few times, but they never really experienced that. Since it's the first rainbow from God, it is inferred that is most likely had not rained at all at this point. Being that it is the first rainbow that man had ever seen, what do you think Noah and his family were thinking? There's probably a lot of things going through their mind. I mean, can you think back to the first time you saw a rainbow? It's a beautiful sight. Looks like a miracle. That's probably what Noah was thinking. The flood in itself was enough to show the power of God, but now he adds a rainbow too. It shows more control that God has over creation again. We talked about all the scientific reasons of how a rainbow is made. Who do you think put those laws and those rules out there? God did. That's how those rules came to be. Think back to when you first saw a rainbow. Can you imagine that? It's hard for me to imagine, but seeing Emerson and Hunter, you know, you get to experience everything again with a child. And whenever they see a rainbow for the first time, I mean, their eyes light up and they start pointing and they keep pointing at it. Like, you see that? You see that rainbow? Your rainbow. They think it's the greatest thing in the world. And you're like, we saw one yesterday. It's not that big a deal. But to them, that's remarkable. That's what Noah had to have been feeling like. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 28, we see the importance of the rainbow. Ezekiel 1:28, like the appearance of a rainbow in the cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. This rainbow is compared to the likeness of the glory of the Lord. That's pretty significant. We can see in Revelation 4 and verse 3, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. A rainbow around the throne of God,
symbolized there.
It's how important this symbol is. It's not to stand up for a homosexual movement full of sin, a debased mind that it has become today. You know, think again, at the end of any time of rain, or at the end of, maybe, let's take this Harvey event that we just had. At the end of that event, what did everybody look forward to seeing?
There was a rainbow.
They saw the rainbow and they knew God's not going to destroy the world again with flood. Can you imagine if you were there in Houston? It's kind of hard, but we can talk to people. Their houses were completely gone. They lost everything they had. It was destroyed by floodwaters, but the entire earth was not destroyed. And that's what happened back in Genesis chapter 8, and chapter 7 and 9. It also shows it is consistent that God fulfills and upholds his promises. In Romans chapter 4, Paul writes there about Abraham. Romans chapter 4 and starting in verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. See, Abraham believed in God, and he knew God's promise would be fulfilled. He had that faith, no matter what would happen, no matter how old he was, that promise of him having a seed would be fulfilled. It's the same with anything God makes a promise of. It will come true. God is faithful. In 2 Thessalonians 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." You see, in 1 Corinthians 1, and verse 8, "Who will also confirm you to be the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." God is faithful. Anything that he says is going to happen. God said he's not going to destroy the world with water again. It's not going to happen. And that promise is the rainbow that we read about back in Genesis chapter 9. If you would get out your song books, we just sang number 224. I want to read these lyrics once again. There's a rainbow in the cloud. And it gives us that assurance, that faithfulness that we have in God from these verses. Verse 1 says, "As I journey here amid the toil and tears, there's a rainbow in the cloud. He will safely lead, I must have no fear, there's a rainbow in the cloud. After storm and rain, fields of golden grain, winter's cold, there's a rainbow in the cloud. Winter's cold and pain, summer's harvest grain, there's a rainbow in the cloud. When the storms all pass, comes a brighter day, there's a rainbow in the cloud. In that city fair, there's a crown to wear, there's a rainbow in the cloud. There's a rainbow that is shining, there's a rainbow in the cloud. When life's race is run and the victory's won, there's a rainbow in the cloud." We can see in this song of that hope that we have, just as a rainbow in the cloud, when the storms all pass, comes a brighter day, that assurance that there's still a rainbow right there. In that next verse, "In that city fair, there's a crown to wear." God has promised us a crown. We can have that crown because there's a rainbow in the cloud. He gives us that assurance. God will fulfill his promises that he has given us. Let's talk about the covenant that was made between God and man. Turn back over to Genesis chapter 9. If you're smart, unlike me, I didn't mark it. I should have. Many times I've been there. Mark chapter 9 and verse 11. "Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. The earth will never be destroyed by water again." That was the covenant that God made with man. And we think of all the covenants that God had made up until this point. He had made Adam and Eve, and that marriage had been established, that marriage covenant had been made there, but this is one of the next covenants that was made, that God made with man. One of the next few. He didn't say one thing of importance. He didn't say that it wouldn't be destroyed. Just the next time it would be destroyed for forever. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, let's read about that. "The earth will be destroyed, but it won't be by flood waters the next time." 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." It's another promise that he makes right there. They will be burned up. It will happen. And as we just talked about in the point before, everything God promises and says, it will be fulfilled. We think about the covenant that God made with Israel through Abraham, and he fulfilled that covenant. In Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Sorry, we're going back and forth here. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, into a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." These three promises that God makes with Abraham, and as we read through Scripture, we see that they're all three fulfilled. It all happened. What's also important about God's promises is there's a new covenant in Christ. We have that new covenant. Talks about it in Jeremiah chapter 31 and in Hebrews 8. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 8, if you would. Hebrews chapter 8. Let's begin reading in verse 8. "Because finding fault with them, he says, 'Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with those with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." And that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. And we could have a whole lesson in itself just of this new covenant, the old covenant. That old covenant was done away and a new covenant is established. This is another covenant that we see made in Christ. That rainbow was a sign to show the completion of the flood, but a new rainbow that we have is Christ. Christ will appear at the end, just as we see a rainbow at the end of a flood or at the end of a rain. We will see Christ one day on the day of judgment. He's like our new rainbow in the cloud. Matthew 24 and verse 30. "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Christ is going to come again as our new rainbow. And if God says he's going to come, it's going to happen. Like we just talked about, he is faithful. God is faithful in his promises. So we have to be ready. As a present rainbow, Christ has set up this new covenant that we just talked about in Hebrews chapter 8. He sacrificed himself for us, and he has paid that debt. Continue reading over in Hebrews chapter 10. The Hebrew writer writes there, and in verse 11, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.' Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin." Christ has made that sacrifice for us, as that old law demanded. He is that new covenant, that new symbol that we need to follow, that new thing that we have to follow. He made that sacrifice one time for all and forever. And we don't have to continue in that old law. We see no example in the Bible of where the rainbow is supposed to be committed to the homosexual movement. It's never stated. Matter of fact, the Bible itself condemns those things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. There's no place for God's symbol, as pure as the rainbow, to be involved with something so evil. Unfortunately, people have corrupted the rainbow and many other things that we see in the world today. We have to take that rainbow back and not allow the world to continue to disrespect God and His promises and for what they stand for. Look at one last example. What did Noah have to do to see that rainbow? Going back to Genesis chapter 6, what did he have to do? Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22 states, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. He had to follow God's will. And that's what he did. He had to follow God's commands. He built the ark correctly. He did it out of the right material that God had commanded, the right dimensions. And then more importantly, he got in the ark, as he was told. If he didn't get in the ark, he would have been destroyed like everyone else. So what do we have to do to be able to see that final rainbow? To be saved like Noah was. We have to obey God's commands, just as Noah did. It's pretty simple. We have to follow the steps of salvation. We have to hear the word of God, like we've done here this evening. We have to believe in what we have read and studied and understood. We have to repent of our old life and set it aside and confess that Jesus is the Son of God, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. And most importantly, we have to be baptized. We can't stop there, as many in the world state today. And we have to remain faithful to receive that rainbow one day, to see that rainbow. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'll leave you with this. Some of the last writings of Paul, and probably some of my favorite verses here. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes to the young preacher, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul kept the faith, and therefore he knew he was going to receive the prize. He was going to get to join Jesus in that cloud. He was going to have that home in heaven. But what did he have to do? He had to fight the good fight. And he kept the faith the entire way, just as Noah had to do. We must do as well. We have to take that rainbow back, and I encourage you to do so, either talking to people or sometimes it's just the way you think of the rainbow in your mind. I remember whenever I was putting this all together, there's so much of the worldly around us that whenever you see a rainbow, the first thought you go to is the sin that's portrayed in the world today by that symbol. And you have to train your mind to think what that rainbow really meant. It was a true covenant with God and with man that he would not flood the earth again. And it's a very simple understanding of what that promise is, but I hope this lesson has taught you that there's so much more to it. that God will make a promise and a covenant, and he will fulfill. And that we have a new rainbow that we have to follow. Maybe you're not one that's in the ark as Noah was. And you need to obey. And have that opportunity this evening. Or maybe you're one that's fallen away and you're now on the outside of that ark as it would have been in Noah's time. You have that opportunity this evening as we stand and sing this song.